Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
If you stayed up late to watch it, good for you. Hope you enjoyed it. I did. And I'll bet this guy did too. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He covers the Guardians for the Chronicle-Telegram. He's our buddy Chris Ossenheimer. Hello, Chris. How you doing, bud?
Chris?
Hey, fellas. What's up?
Not the Guardians last night, but that's okay. Padres look like the real deal. They look pretty good. First of all, your impressions as the Guardians get off to a solid start, do okay in Kansas City, but then having some troubles in San Diego.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, I'm going to say, it's so early. I need a month of the season before I even start to draw any sort of conclusions about anything. But, I mean, it was a nice positive start, like you said, right out of the gate with Kansas City. But like you also said, I mean, they're playing the Padres haven't lost. So
that's pretty good.
So it's a little tough to, you know, I mean, they're going against one of the best teams in baseball, and I know they want to be one of those teams. But like I said, I mean, I need a few series before I can start to look at things, even though I will say there, I would say there's some that you look at that you saw last year that's still happening this year that maybe is a concern.
What would those things be for you, Ossie?
Well, I guess the first thing that comes to mind is, because it's the most recent, is Logan Allen. He was kind of a surprise winner of the number five job. I guess not really, because if Bieber were healthy, then he wouldn't be in the rotation. But what you saw yesterday from him was basically what you saw last year that got him sent down. You know, walking guys, giving up home runs, hard hit balls and stuff like that. So something like that, that's the one that sticks out the most for me, is that, okay, I know you can, and you can also say it's one start, just like you can say with Ortiz. I don't know if spring training matters. You can't put a whole lot of stake and stock and say how this guy's hitting, he hit his way onto the team. If you say it's not, it doesn't mean anything. So, Logan Allen would be the big thing that comes to mind right off the bat in that regard.
Thing that I think is fun to watch here. Clearly Tanner Bibee is the man in this rotation, and clearly they hope Gavin Williams becomes the co-man in this rotation, if nothing else. So you've got two spots taken care of. Ben Lively just continues to do a nice job, and you think, well, why would you make a move there? He's doing a fine job, and he was solid against Kansas City. But then you have the two spots with Logan Allen and Luis Ortiz, and you hope one, if not both, click, Chris. How long do you watch these guys? And how much of a chance do you give them before you'd even think about maybe doing any tinkering?
Well, Ortiz, I mean, that's a different story than Logan Allen. I mean, if they're looking at Logan Allen right now, you know, they weren't happy with him. There was a bunch of back and forth last year with him and maybe him not taking criticism very well, things like that. So I think the leash is a lot shorter on him because you also have Tristan McKenzie, you know, in the bullpen who you can rotate in there if need be. Ortiz, I mean, you know, traded for the guy, you're going to have to, I mean, I would give him, you know, 4 or 5 starts before I even contemplate doing anything like that with him. But he has been terrible. I mean, there hasn't been one moment.
There you go.
I know. But it's one start, and it was in spring training that he was terrible. But you'd like to see, like, some positives from him. And I guess Stephen Vogt said there have been and things of that nature. But he just needs to throw strikes, and I'm sure it's going to take – you know, it's tough. You know, he's pitching for a new team. They were in the ALCS last year. He wants to come out of the gate. I'm sure there's a lot of pressure on him. You're hoping he settles in after a couple more starts and you get the guy you thought you were getting.
Chris Ossenheimer joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You can read him every day on at the Chronicle Telegram. What do you make of Jose Ramirez hitting second in this lineup so far?
I mean... Without Naylor, you know, that big bopper in the middle. I mean, I like it. You don't have Jimenez up there. Listen, Jose's going to produce wherever he hits. I mean, you can analyze it all you want. It gets him more at bats, so it's a good thing. It's positive, and I don't ever worry with Jose hitting. He could hit anywhere in the lineup, and he would be fine.
Last night, I was watching. Chris, and this thought struck me, and I don't know if it's an accurate thought, but it struck me. And watching them struggle against Michael King, and he gave up only 2 hits, and then they couldn't get to the Padre bullpen for even a hit. And I thought, a lot of things need to go right in any given game for this offense to produce a decent amount of runs. Is that fair? You know, I think, okay, Jose's going to scare the other team. I don't think there's another guy in this team who routinely scares another team. And it just doesn't mean you can't score runs, and it doesn't mean you won't be fine. But, man, I just feels like so much needs to go right in a game-by-game basis for this team to produce enough runs to win.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, it's they have no power. You know, I mean, they got one guy who's a legit 30-homer guy that you can count on hitting 30. You know, Carlos Santana's not hitting you 30 home runs anymore. And I think maybe he's done it once in his career anyway. So, but yeah, they don't have that big bopper, which is why it's still a little perplexing to me why they didn't just start the season with Naylor. I've heard you say it as well.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
That's fine if you're going to trade him. Maybe he forced their hand, and maybe there was a lot more going on with the weight thing that wasn't out there. But they have to. I mean, that's how they played last year. You're hoping that a guy like John Kenzie Noel can turn into that, you know, that he takes hold of that this year. And because that, what a huge asset that guy would be. I mean, and he certainly would scare some people when you're talking about that. But yeah, you're right. I mean, things have to go well. They have to have Jose and Kwan have good games almost every night, because of the lack of power.
I was not a big fan of the Nolan Jones to Colorado trade, only because you gave up a middle infielder, or you got a middle infielder when you already had a glut of middle infielders. Then you get him back and you give up from your glut of middle infielders. And I will say, I hope it works, because you gave up something that you didn't have much of in your system, and you brought him back. I will say, watching him come to the plate, I love it, because I think this is a big-bodied guy. If he gets a hold of it, can do something. Do you think he's able to find it here and return to what he did 2 years ago in Colorado? And did you like the move overall?
I didn't go crazy over the move. It's a fine move. If he can do what he did in Colorado 2 years ago, then you're right. I mean, then there's another weapon. He wasn't healthy last year. And obviously the organization likes him. You know, I know they traded him, but they got him back. So, hey, sorry, we made a mistake. But, yeah, that's another guy they need to progress and to turn. And if these guys can do that, then you're talking about a good team. I mean, really good team. But I just don't know if you can count on, you know, Nolan Jones and John Kenzie Noel doing that this year. Although you've seen it from Noel or from Nolan Jones before, so at least there's that track record you can look back on.
He's been hitting decently to this point, Chris, but how much wiggle room does Gabriel Arias have to hold on to the second base job and at least keep the seat warm until Travis Bazzano shows up?
Well, I mean, at least if he keeps doing what he's doing now, they're not, I mean, he's going to stay there. I think he gets, you know, it's going to, he's got to produce. He's never produced. That's what it's going to come down to. If he, like I said, if he keeps doing what he's doing now, that's production, then you're not going to take that guy out of there. You're not going to rush a guy like Bazzano up if Arias is holding his own. If not, then we've got other things to talk about. But this is his last chance, I will say that. I mean, he doesn't produce now, he's gone because he's out of options, as we all know. But, yeah, keep hitting, stay in the lineup. It's pretty simple.
I wonder about Stephen Vogt in year number two. I wonder the way he managed games last year. Being a former catcher, he knows pitching, you know, inside and out. But, man, he had, what, four guys in the bullpen make 74 or more appearances. And I mentioned the other day, I'd love to see maybe more of the let's try and get quality starts out of our starters. Go six innings, maybe give up three or fewer runs. You know, get an extra inning and cut an inning out of that bullpen. Is that a recipe that could work here, or should you just continue to hammer what worked so well last year? My fear is that you fry your bullpen.
No, yeah, and it definitely looked like that happened in the postseason last year. I mean, Tim Aaron was probably the only one of that big four at the end of their bullpen that didn't have a bad outing. The problem is their rotation is, you know, it's been so injury plagued, and there's so many young guys in it, and it was tough to get that from them. I mean, that's the ideal recipe that everybody looks for, but. And then you have to weigh that, though, with the fact this is the strength of your pitching staff, probably of your team, you know. And so I didn't have a problem. Vogt is going to – he's a second-year manager. I know he managed the year last year, great debut season. But I think he's – you know, I thought the Class A thing for me – using him in multiple innings when you didn't do that, you did that maybe one or two times during the regular season. I think that was a mistake. So there's still going to be some mistakes along the way. But it would be, as you said, get some length out of some starters, get six innings. You're right. But I don't think he's had that luxury thus far.
Great to have you with us, buddy. Thank you very much.
All right, my friends. Always.
Thanks,
Chris Ossenheimer. Chronicle Telegram does a fabulous job of covering the Guardians, and we always love to have him with us.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We just had Chris Ossenheimer with us from the Chronicle-Telegram, who is a fine writer, covers the Guardians, and does it with a real nice style that I enjoy. And we were talking about the offense, and you know, I said, just and Chris perfectly summed it up, and we all know this. Okay, it's way too early to draw any conclusions.
Right.
That first and foremost, so we're not drawing any conclusions. What we are doing is discussing things.
Well, we're going to have some fun with it,
keep,
for sure.
Keep in mind, there's a difference between drawing conclusions, because if you weren't allowed to talk about things through five games, then there's nothing to talk about with baseball. Well, it's only five games. Well, that's bad for sports talk radio.
Right,
if you're going to take that approach, that doesn't work very well.
We can't live in this world.
But we can say it's only five games, but, and then talk about things, which is what we're going to do.
Exactly.
And I watch this team and I think, God, how are they going to score runs on a regular basis? And in the last, two games in San Diego, they scored two runs. Okay, that'll happen. In Kansas City, they scored 6, 3, and 7. So, it was better. But San Diego has pitched very well in these two games, and that's the case. But I look at this team, and I told you there was one little thought that I have that's kind of an exception to all of this. But clearly, when you watch this team, at least last night, you thought, man, the only guy in this lineup who scares you is Jose Ramirez. But there's an exception. And I told Ossie, I said, a lot of things have to go well for this team to score. You got to see some guys. Here's the exception to me. I really like the potential of a lot of the guys on this team offensively. Stephen Kwan's already a really good offensive player. What Stephen needs to do is put together a full season. He didn't do that last year.
And I think he scares you in a different way than Jose Ramirez would scare you, in a different way than Vladdy Guerrero Jr. would scare you, Fernando Tatis. But, he does scare a pitcher, because you know if you're going up against that guy, he's going to work the count.
He's going to have
good at
bats.
He knows the strike zone. Yeah. He's going to foul off pitches he doesn't want to hit, and he has no problem whatsoever poking one in the hole and just constantly just, peppering
annoying you.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And I think that scares guys in a different way than a Jose Ramirez does. Stephen Kwan continues to just impress the hell out of me every single time I watch him.
I would agree. The only thing I say about that, and we talked about this earlier in the week, last year he fell off the face of the earth in the second half of the season. He can't do that again.
Dude was hitting 400.
Well, no, but I mean, he ended up hitting like 220 the last half of the season.
Correct, and he was banged up and all that kind
of
stuff too. Yes.
Agreed. Guys who don't hit for a ton of power and hit 220 should be playing in Columbus.
Agreed.
And then they'll be on their way to playing in the Mexican League. So I don't think Stephen Kwan is that kind of a player. I think he's a terrific hitter. He's just got to put it together for a full season. But
agreed.
I really do like him. Kyle Manzardo has looked like a guy who's got a plan. He knows what he's doing at the plate. He looks like a professional hitter. Mm-hmm. And he looks like a professional hitter with pop. And those are kind of hard to come by, Dan.
And something that wasn't totally sold with him when he showed up here. A lot of people
hitting lefties.
And a lot of people were wondering with him, is this, and this is a high bar comparison, so hang with me. Is it like John Olerud, where the guy is just a darn good hitter but doesn't have a boatload of power? He's not going to put the ball over the fence or anything like that. It seems like he's not.
He seems like he's got a little more pop.
Right. He's a first baseman that's going to hit the ball over the fence a little more often than John Olerud did.
Lane Thomas is off to a slow start, so what? It's only five games. But offensively, I like Lane Thomas better than anything this team has had in center field in a long, long time. And that means Tyler Freeman last year, and that means Miles Straw. So
he's fast enough to be out there. The stick needs to come around.
And it will, I think. Mm-hmm. So I like that. I think that's a huge upgrade. Arias, we'll see. Rocchio, I think, is going to be a better hitter than he was during the regular season last year. And we'll see how that continues to go. I do love this. You've got John Kenzie Noel. You have Nolan Jones. Jonathan Rodriguez is up here right now. There are three great, big, strong guys who can hit the ball a long way and hit it hard if it doesn't go out of the park. I'm assuming, and we all know what happens when you assume, I'm assuming one of those three guys is going to become a pretty significant player for this team. Now, that's an assumption I probably shouldn't make, but I'm assuming they're not going to miss on all three guys. And I love watching John Kenzie Noel. Man, he's fun to watch. Nolan Jones is settling in. But when he walked up to the plate last night, and I thought, okay, well, we'll see. And he got, I know one, he got called out on a bad inside high pitch that I thought, ooh, that, he was right. That was not a strike.
Mm-hmm.
And then he looked silly later on striking out. But I just, it looks like, ooh, this guy could scare you. And so I want to see if he can find it. And Rodriguez, if you remember, came up last year before Noel and had a little bit of a look. And I thought, this guy looks pretty good. And he had a great arm in right field. And I thought, let's see more. And then they put him down and brought up Noel, which is okay. Between Noel, I think Noel and Rodriguez are pretty similar players. Might be wrong, but they sure give me that feel. Power hitting right fielders who can maybe do some damage. And
Noel is a little more swing and miss to him.
Which is why I think Rodriguez might be a sneaky play here.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and I think his arm is better than John Kenzie's, and John Kenzie seems to have a pretty good arm. And we'll see what happens with Nolan Jones. That's the exception to me, is that I think there are some real possibilities in this lineup who just haven't really done it yet.
Right, and it's still super early.
Yep.
And we still have a whole lot of time in a lot of different places to make this all work together. But I'm with you. It needs to be more than Quan Ramirez Manzardo.
And I do like Quan. Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
No, I know you don't.
I think he's outstanding. I just thought, imagine if he could have duplicated in the second half what he did in the first.
Yes.
And not, I don't even mean hit 400. I mean hit 330.
Right.
You know?
And kept that level. But yeah. We'll see what, you know, hopefully he spent the offseason getting into a shape that lets him last, you know, 162 games a little bit better than he has in the past, or at least 150. Give me, 150. You know, understanding there'll probably be off days along the way. I'm with you. They need somebody else to step up, though, and it'd be cool if that's Gabe Arias. Like, it would make life so easy.
Yeah.
If it was like, all right, Gabe Arias is that guy. It's finally clicked. It's finally rolling. Let's go. Or even if it's Bo Naylor hitting at an above average level for a catcher. Like, even if it's just that one where, let's say that dude finds himself to, a 250 average with a 320 on base and slugs for something. Like, to where he hits 20 bombs in a season. He hits 22 bombs in a season. And you can point to him and go, yeah, but it's not a net zero at catcher, which is what you've had the last few years. Like, that would be really nice. And I wonder if we're going to see that coming from Bo Naylor, because it seems like the ball's coming off the bat a little bit harder than it was last year. I got to dig a little bit more before I totally say that with certainty. But, like, it seems like it looks better this year than it has in the past.
So, though last night, certainly against a good pitching Padre team, the offense looked putrid. And Jose just looks like the only guy that can scare you. I do think there are options. And then the Gabe Arias thought, I think, is interesting. He's off to a solid start. He's hitting 333. And that's swell early, yes. But that's a situation to keep an eye on, because we know Bazana's coming at some point. I wonder this, and tell me what you think. Is Juan Brito coming up here? I mean, we all know Bazana's the guy. But are they really hoping, pushing for, waiting for, can't wait for Juan Brito to warm up in Columbus when they get going and really start going and get him up here ASAP and get a look at him?
You're going to laugh. I don't think they care what the name is on the back of the jersey as long as somebody's standing at second base playing competent defense and hitting a baseball. I really don't think they care. They're just like, give us anybody who could give us a positive output at second base with the stick in their hands and play decent enough defense to call it passable. Does that make sense to you, or am I making this way too simplistic?
No, that makes sense. But I just, it's weird to me. If I'm Juan Brito, if Travis Bazana weren't sitting there.
Oh, yeah. We'd be having a completely different conversation.
And he might be in a position where he can think, hey, I have an opportunity to make my major league career right here, right now. In four games in Columbus, he's hitting 313 so far. And that's solid, that's fine. But, Arias is hitting well here. I wonder if they force feed Brito into the lineup somewhere. I would think this. If, unfortunately, somebody gets injured, okay, let's say somebody has to go on the injured list, whether it Rocchio,
right,
Jose, you know, if it were happened to be Jose, I would think that Arias gets moved to short or third, and you're immediately calling Brito up, and then Brito gets his look. And if Brito were to come up here, regardless of what Gabe's doing, I would think they would come up with some kind of a move and keep a hot bat on the roster somewhere. So you can be sure Brito at some point, whether it be because Arias isn't doing the job or because somebody gets hurt, Brito's going to get a look as long as he's doing okay. And so far he's doing okay.
I'll give you another scenario that's kind of a deep, dark place when it comes to Juan Brito. Is he sitting there as Brian Rocchio insurance? Because that popped into my head at one point that if Rocchio's stick doesn't turn around, and it's
well, I would think it's this.
But like
Arias is the Rocchio insurance.
Oh, interesting.
Because they would move Gabe over to shortstop, which is his natural position, and then Brito would come up and play second. So I think those three guys are. I mean, you're covered there. Brito, though he has played shortstop and played more third last year than shortstop. But I would think they're thinking of him not at shortstop, but at second or third.
Interesting. Okay. That's makes a lot of sense what you're saying. Because I wonder on that one, I wonder how long, and it's early, and I am a Brian Rocchio fan, and I am not selling any stock. We are not leaving the island. It may be a little dark right now, but we are not leaving Rocchio Island. I wonder long the leash is.
Yeah, I wonder.
If the stick doesn't start to come around.
All I know is this. Man, is it great to have baseball back.
It's the best.
It absolutely
is. Watching Paul Skeens throw. It's awesome.
There you go. It's Basket of Phelps here on The Fan.